Rick Emerson radio program.
Did you know you can now buy tasers that fit in the palm of your hand, and they're pink?
How much are they?
Like $200.
Fantastic.
They come in metallic pink, electric blue, and titanium silver. Same color as your razor.
All right, there you go.
Remember, do you remember that time? It was like, I don't know, just a matter of weeks ago that we were going to tase some listener in the parking lot.
I think we missed our window to do that.
We'll be joined by Tim Riley from the Ministry of Truth in mere seconds. Rick, this email says, I was in a restroom a couple days ago when Tim mentioned the couple suing the hotel over bed bugs. I suddenly burst into laughter. This is fine, as I often listen to the Rick Emerson Show for that purpose alone. Unfortunately, there was someone at the sink washing their hands who knew only that I had entered the restroom, walked up to the urinal, unzipped my pants, and begun laughing. I probably shouldn't have followed it up by looking over at him and saying, you should totally check this out. He hasn't spoken to me since. This is what you do, Rick. I hope you're proud of yourself. I am, sir. Waiters in Chinese restaurants always look at your shoes. Ed. All right. And finally, let's see. Do I have a... I should read this because he sent me that thing earlier.
Come on! Come on! Come on!
Todd the Corpse. We'll have to explain why we call him that one of these days. You're right about moisturize. While it's generally accepted as a proper word, it is a made-up advertising word. And Todd the Corpse is a copywriter. Just like revitalize and halitosis. Now, I thought halitosis was a real word. We're entering real, like, NPR territory here, but seriously, I thought halitosis was a real word.
No,
yeah,
that was
a
made
real
up
condition.
Yeah, it was it's a thing. It's a, right? It's when you speak in parcel tongue. No, I thought
it's
it was
like
when you
vitaminologist. Someone who works in the vitamin store.
Vitaminologist. It's like meat of a vitamin. No. Oh, damn it. I messed it up. It's vitamin of
vitamin of vegemin.
What?
Vitamin of vegemin.
Hack advertising writers like me make stuff up like this all the time to describe things. Most of them involve cosmetics or health benefits. And, of course, crumb-believable. It's just I can't remember what the word is, but we were watching this is he and Mrs. Corpse. We were watching TV last night, and some cosmetic company had a completely and obviously made-up word that sent me into tizzy until Mrs. Corpse commanded me to stop my complaining. See, it's not just me. Let's get this call, and then we'll go to the Ministry of Truth. Scotty says you can also buy zapping cigarette lighters. I've seen those. And then we'll do the Suburban Perspective here in just a skosh, as our aides and friends say. Pam, hello.
Hey, Rick, how you doing?
Hi, Pam, how are you?
Halitosis is a real word.
That's what I thought.
It's another term for bad breath.
Yeah, I know. But see, Todd is claiming it's a made-up advertising word, but I thought it was real.
No, I've had it several times, I know.
Okay. was there a fantastic product that helped you?
Soap and brushing my teeth and taking a bath daily.
Taking a bath daily helped with your halitosis?
Yeah.
Where is your mouth located?
Well, you know when you eat certain foods, they come out in your pores?
Yes. Well, okay.
Well, you need to take a bath.
That is true. Have you noticed that many Indian people smell vaguely of curry?
Well, I won't comment on that.
No, it's true. How can I help you, Pam?
Well, you know, Gladys Knight and the Pips, well, not the Pips, but Gladys Knight has become a Mormon. And some of her children have become Mormons. And I learned this from The View, which occurred, I'd say a week after Christmas.
Is this, is this another random observation because of that thing I said at the beginning of the show about Scotty making random observations today?
No. I called a couple weeks ago, but I couldn't hold on because I had to potty somebody. But I had to hang up. But yeah.
Okay.
He became a Mormon, and I don't know about the Pips. You know, they didn't say anything about the Pips. And he had the audacity to sing "White Christmas."
I'm not sure when. I think Gladys Knight may have become a Mormon. I think it might have been a while ago. I'd have to ask Clyde about that. Clyde is sort of a walking database of celebrity Mormons.
Uh-huh.
Clyde knows all, like, celebrity Mormons everywhere. He's got, like, a complete mental Rolodex of them. So, yeah, I'm not sure about the Pips. And, you know, that would explain, actually. That would explain something. If Gladys Knight is indeed a Mormon, there's at the LDS, the Latter-day Saint bookstore in Provo, which is where I was a few weeks ago, it's the weirdest thing where it's like nothing but Bible stuff and God stuff and Jesus stuff and Joseph Smith stuff. And then you'll see something really random like a Gladys Knight and the Pips box set. And I was like, well, what the hell? What? WTF? Like, why is this here? But that totally makes sense. So, no, that would explain it.
Now, would that make the Pips Latter-day?
Latter-day Pips.
Latter-day Pips.
All right. Thank you, Pam.
I'm being attacked by a squirrel. I got to go. Bye.
That's fantastic.
Well, one must defend oneself.
No, because see, you know, Pam is good. Pam, if you're listening, you're fantastic. You're golden. I love you. And here's why.
I can see why squirrels are irritated with all the snow on the ground.
No, because see, she it was a good call, but then she tried to go out on a tag of like, would that make them Latter Day Pips? And it was not really all that funny. And I think she sensed that maybe her punchline sort of fizzled. But then, bam, thinking on her feet, she came back with, I got to go, I'm being attacked by a squirrel. And, I mean, save the whole call. That made the call right there. That's like that second ending to Rocky that they shot that the studio made them do, and then they put it back on, and then it tested in the 90s. Bam. Oh, and she hung up before I could dump her. That's before I could hang up on her. You're right. No, she, joke, bam, done, out. Here's Tim Riley.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
Our here, Republican State Representative Donna Nelson introducing a bill on the House floor that would make English the official language of Oregon. Apparently, there were 138 different languages spoken here. I've only heard
a
couple.
That's a lie.
Where do you go to hear 138
there
different languages?
There aren't even that many languages in the world. They're making
it up. Oh, yes, there are.
No, there aren't.
I would think so.
It's like 10 tops.
No, they're more than that. But anyway, I'd like to hear 138 different languages. Where may I go to hear them spoken?
We should have a wheel of language on the program. We should do the opening. Think about how badly this would F with people. We should do the opening, like that opening segment, live from the plushly appointed and given the time and the year of our Lord. We should do that in a different language every day. And just like Cantonese. We should just to screw with people.
That'd be fun.
That would completely F with people. They would not know what the hell was going on. Like, if you tuned in late, that would you'd probably be hitting your head against, like, solid objects and shaking the radio and screaming at your God, to ask why he had punished you. That's fantastic. Let's do that tomorrow.
Nice.
If anybody out there knows the opening of this radio program, maybe I'll post it on the website later. I say knowing that I'll forget all about this as soon as the show is done. Send me the opening of the show written phonetically in some foreign language tomorrow, and I'll do it in that. All right, here's Tim Riley.
Any of 138 different languages.
Any, doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. I don't care. Rick, thanks to you, after hearing Feed Your Family with a Cod Piece, I had to pull over to think about that. No, it's true. It's impossible to do. As Carl says, I can't feed my family with a cod piece. Here's Tim Riley.
Well, the National Guard took out a full-page color ad in the paper. They're looking for people to rescue local families from floodwaters, secure our borders, rescue humanitarian aid. And let's see, what do they need these guardsmen to do? Oh, you got to build a border fence with Mexico.
Don't we have several wars we're fighting in places?
Well, no, that's not what they're going to use these people for.
Of course not.
They're only going to be here.
Sure.
You'll control civil disturbances. Apparently, we're about to have some. You'll save lives.
Really? Does it say that?
Uh-huh. You'll preserve civil order and alleviate human suffering. You'll also evacuate seriously injured. Apparently, somebody has something planned here on the home front.
I was just going to say, does it say when these services are going to be needed?
It says, always ready, always there, and it's in color. And some of these people get to fly cool airplanes, so I guess you get to bomb the civilian population.
You get to bomb any cities where people have begun to think a little too freely.
It has some people in riot gear. Let's see, you're using a stethoscope on poor children.
You know what unnerves me about that ad is it's all, like, sepia-toned. Mm-hmm.
That's the color of history, is what that is.
You're going to apprehend illegal aliens, seize illegal drugs, and prevent human suffering.
By killing people who cross you, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Good God Almighty.
Okay.
So it's in but they're in a desert. Is that the Midwest?
Well, not today.
Oh.
Who knows? Who knows what it might look like tomorrow after the citizens become a little troublesome? Rick, moisturize is a perfectly cromulent word. Okay, but well done, sir. 2 points to you for that. Here's Tim Riley.
Time now for a snuff watch.
Oh, I swear to God, I thought this guy was dead already.
Popular Washington Coast columnist Art Buchwald has died at the age of 81.
I meant to talk to Lisa Goddard about that, but...
Well, back in February last year, he checked himself into a D.C. area hospice and refused dialysis treatment for his ailing kidneys. He was expected to die in weeks, but fooled everyone. He says dying is a part of life.
People don't want to talk about death. It's a no-no subject. And if someone brings it up and is willing to talk about it, It makes everybody feel better.
He says, once again, dying is a part of life.
The bottom line of all this is you're going to die. Who you are, you're going to die.
No, really. I mean,
he's got to miss two things now that he's dead.
There's, okay.
I regret that global warming will be solved after I go away. I regret that I won't be able to afford to go to the opera.
Okay. Some more medication for our Buckwald. I mentioned out to Lisa Goddard about that. He was really a fixture. I mean, I don't think his column was syndicated much at the end. I think he didn't have really the strength. Although, here's the great thing about this guy. First of all, I love this.
The bottom line of all this is you're going to die. I don't care who you are, you're going to die.
He just had, like, the most zen attitude about it, too, because the thing about Art Buckwald is, and he seems so much older than 81, though. I swear to God, what he's... I remember reading some of his books of political humor when I was like in eighth and ninth grade because I was a nerd, and he already seemed like he was like 100 years old. And he must have only been like 50 something then. So, I mean, which is weird. But he had one of those like kind of William Holden sort of leathery, not leathery, but you know, just like a worn face and just like the deep lines and sort of, you know, kind of, you know, and just had a, you know, just a great, you know, always chomping on a cigar and like.
Where are the dames?
Totally, exactly. Going to Elaine's at night with Rather and Cronkite. Totally one of those guys. Kind of a Washington insider, sort of, in the sense that he was like a pundit about it. But the great thing about our Buckwald is this, is that he. Because as you said, they told him, they're like, well, you're going to die. And hospice is for people who have 6 months to live or less. If you are in a hospice or if you they see somebody in a hospice, it's because you have been given the 6 months. The insurance company has given you half a calendar. Mm-hmm. That's why you're there.
A set of clean sheets and...
That's it, and a short
water glass.
And a short book. And a leaflet to read. And so he was there, but then like... But then he lived for like another year and a half. And the great part was they asked the doctor, they're like, why isn't he dead? And the doctor's like, I don't know. He lives on. And they had sent him there, and they said he had 6 weeks to live. He lived for a year and a half and wrote a whole book. And I forget the name of the book. I don't know what he ended up calling it. But the working title of the book was literally called, like, I was supposed to be dead a year and a half ago. And he just wrote this whole thing about, you know, I'm going to die, and what are you going to do? And he was just so great. And he wasn't, like, nihilistic about it as such. I mean, he wasn't, like, dark and morbid about it. He was just like, well, you're going to die, and that's kind of the end of that. And live while you're alive. And just sort of a, you know, kind of an I regret nothing kind of a guy. And I don't know. There's just, I mean, that's kind of... And it's all easy and weird. It's all well and good and easy to talk all big and brave when you don't have a tumor the size of a melon inside your head or something. But I mean, that's my thing. Cause I think they told, because they came and they amputated like one of his legs or whatever because he had a bad circulation. Ugh. And but the thing about that is, so they whack off one of his legs, and then they say, well, and you've got all this cancer, so we'd like to give you chemotherapy, and all your hair is going to fall out, and your skin's going to flake away, and you're going to turn into mush. But you'll be incontinent, by the way, and you won't be able to hold your bowels. And every day is going to be a living hell, and you're going to vomit, and you're going to lose 100 pounds a day.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and his thing was, he was like, screw it, I'll pass. And he just like, and then he lived for another year and a half. They tried to get him to take chemo, and he was just like, F that. I'm just going to live, and I'll live as long as I live, and stay away from me. And he lived a year and a half past when they said he would. So God bless that guy. So that's...
The bottom line of all this is you're going to die. I don't care who you are, you're going to die.
And he wrote like a full book towards the end and just spat right in the left eye of the Grim Reaper. So good for him.
Part two. Who remembers the Big Bopper?
Yes. I remember having to play his song over and over and over again. I also know that there is another song called The Big Bopper's Wedding, which I have never heard.
No, I haven't either.
It exists. It's supposedly the B-side to Chantilly Lace. Please don't send it to me. I don't care if I ever hear it.
Maybe it's on 9:10 a.m.
It's pro... I don't know. Let's call up and request it.
Oh.
The Big Bopper's Wedding, supposedly the B-side to Chantilly Lace, which is itself a horrid song. Anyway, I'm sorry, go ahead. Big Bopper.
Well, the son of the Big Bopper, the Little Bopper, has hired a forensic arachnophobist, of course, an anthropologist.
You just said vitamin to Vegemin without any trouble. All right. I think,
Well, this bone specialist to answer questions about how his father died in the 1959 plane crash. How could that be?
Let's see. How did his father die
in the 1959 plane crash?
Let's see if we can piece that together over the course of the next 5 or 10 years.
Ow. Well, the Little Bopper, who performs tribute shows as the Big Bopper Jr.
No! Really?
Yes.
I can open for him with my G. Gordon Liddy act. Coming up later on, the Big Bopper will be here.
Hopes an examination of his father's remains, so apparently there are some. Well, settle rumors like anybody cares.
All those furious Big Bopper rumors that are swirling around.
If he might have survived the plane crash and have gone for help.
Now, what does it matter? Who cares?
I'm not looking for any great bombshell. Then again, you never know.
Then again, I need publicity because I'm playing in Akron this weekend.
His mother was pregnant when his father died.
So he never even knew him.
No.
You know, I think... Never mind. I was going to say something that sounded very cold, and I'm not... I won't say that. I will just say this. He makes a living... This is like one step above Santa's magic rocket sled or whatever the hell.
What about the guy that used to do that radio show who's selling his dad's old stag films that he appeared in?
Stag films? He's selling some blue material his father made. He's selling some kinescopes of his father having sexual congress with a lady.
Saying his dad would be proud of his efforts to sell them.
Scotty Crane.
Not to be confused with Scotty J.
No. Well, we are so deep into this now. Okay. You were talking about Scotty Crane, who I guess was a DJ at some point. He had some weekend show on the old KOTK.
As everyone in America has at one time or another. It's on everyone's resume.
I had a weekend program. I had a weekend program at KOTK.
Along with always some exaggerated claims like they had some other position, like I was the assistant promotions director for weekends.
Claims like that.
Mm-hmm. Not that he himself claimed that.
Who?
No, I'm just saying, I've seen resumes from other people.
Who are you
during that period
what
of time?
What other people, Tim?
Who claimed...
What people are you referring to?
Have administrative positions during that period of time.
Are you referring to anybody in particular?
I'm referring to several people in particular.
Such as?
No, I'm not going to name names.
I'm not going to work blue. No.
So getting back to these stag films.
So Scott...
These old two-reelers. Directed by Hal Roach.
Yes. Scotty Crane, who was a DJ in Seattle, had a weekend program on KOTK for a while. It was like some syndicated, like he sent it out on CD.
They weren't that difficult to get.
It arrived in the mail, and Bruce needed an hour to fill it. Well, all right. Todd, can you put this on at midnight? Anyway, Scotty Crane is the son of Bob Crane, who was Hogan on Hogan's Heroes. He was, what was Hogan's first name?
I've never heard him addressed.
Colonel blah 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 Hogan. Don't call. I swear to God, I see it happening now. Stop. Don't call. I don't care. Whatever. Anyway, Scotty Crane, the DJ, was the son or is the son of Bob Crane, who played Hogan on Hogan's Heroes. If you've seen the film Autofocus with Greg Kinnear, which is a decent and disturbing film, you know that when Bob Crane wasn't busy acting on Hogan's Heroes, he was at home making, yes, stag films with the ladies. Engaging in Congress on a bearskin rug and having his friend, played by Willem Dafoe, film it. And then there's like thousands of these. So there's thousands of these bad, like crudely made, homemade black and white porn films. Fast forward a couple years, Bob Crane, dead. Dead from being bashed in the head. So what does Scotty Crane do? Well, let's see. I could pursue something reputable, or I could sell pornography starring my father. I'll choose that latter option. So that's what Scotty Crane does for a living. I think if you go to bobcrane.com right now, you can see free samples, so I'm told. And then if you pay like $9 a month, you can watch like 80-year-old films of Bob Crane.
Oh, the Bob Crane Film Club.
The Bob Crane
Film Club. Kind of like
Film of the Month. For a penny, you'll get the first 8 free.
Are they available on iTunes?
Bob Crane humping it out on a bearskin rug with some woman who's 50, like, you know, who's 50 years dead by now.
Some band dancer.
And dancer with a flapper with some woman who now looks like Martha Ray. So that's what you can do. So anyway, so at least the Big Bopper's kid isn't that. But he never knew his dad, and so now he's performing. What is a Big Bopper tribute show consist of? How long could that be? How many songs could there be to sing if you're doing a Big Bopper tribute show?
It doesn't give details.
Really? I'm stunned. I can't believe that. I can't process what I'm hearing.
Well, as it turns out, an autopsy was only performed on the pilot's body and not on the others.
Well, they fell out of a... Look, I'm no scientist, but when you're traveling in a metal box 20,000 feet above the Earth and then it just stops working and falls, everybody just kind of dies from fall. It's not really the fall, I guess. It is the sudden stop. That's what killed him. He was. Did I tell you that photograph that somebody sent me of I saw that. There's a creepy photo of that of the James Dean plane crash scene where it's like plane in the background and then you can't see who it is. I'm assuming it's James Dean. I keep saying James. Buddy Holly.
Mm-hmm.
I'm assuming it's him. But then there's like some leather jacketed guy like laying in a field, you know, 40 feet away or whatever. But I mean, that's really what kills you is the fact that you're in a plane 20,000 feet above the earth and then about a minute later you're on the ground. So the sudden loss of altitude probably is what contributed to the Big Bopper. And let's be honest, can I just say what we're all thinking? That dying is the best thing that ever happened to the Big Bopper. And you know that's true. I know it's true. The kid knows it's true. No one wants to say that out loud, but it's a fact. That's not. It is empiric, I believe. So.
All right.
Well, anyway, so why does he want to... Why would his father's remains even be around? It's been like 60 years.
Yeah, apparently so.
Well, okay.
Let's see.
Some reunion tour?
After his remains are studied, they will be reburied in a life-size statue put up beside the grave. Of what?
Presumably of the way he was earlier.
Oh, okay.
The life-size statue now is about 4 inches high.
Well, it's like Thing, probably.
It's 4 inches high, but real wide.
The bottom line of all this... is you're going to die.
All right, there you go. There's your snuff watch for Thursday on the Rick Emerson Show. We should break. Back out of this with the Suburban Perspective. Rick Emerson radio program. It's 503-733-2970. There's a whole long history of halitosis here. I'm toying with whether to read it or not.
No, it's gross.
No, it's not about halitosis. It's about the marketing of halitosis. Do I have a music bed? Where's that, I won't spill these. I'm looking for the wacky clubhouse. No, this is the...
I think it's the bottom one.
Clubhouse capers. Rick! Let's get a hold of ourselves before all of this spins wildly out of control. Halitosis, the condition, is obviously real. It's bad breath. Halitosis, the word, was made up by Listerine to help sales. Pleased to be referring to the following paragraph from Wikipedia. Quote... Listerine was later sold in a distilled form as a floor cleaner and a cure for gonorrhea. A floor cleaner and a cure for gonorrhea. But it wasn't a runaway success until the 1920s when it was pitched as a solution for chronic halitosis, the faux medical term that the Listerine Advertising Group created in 1921 to describe bad breath. By naming and thus creating a medical condition for which consumers now felt they needed a cure, Listerine created a market for their mouthwash. Until that time, bad breath was not conventionally considered a catastrophe, but Listerine's campaign ad campaign changed that. As the advertising scholar James B. Twitchell writes, Listerine did not make mouthwash as much as it made halitosis. Listerine's new ads featured forlorn young women and men, eager for marriage but turned off by their mate's rotten breath. Can I be happy with him in spite of that? One maiden asked herself. In just 7 years, the company's revenues rose from $115,000 to more than $8 million. Signed, let's never speak of this again. All right, there you go. So Listerine gave, as so many people have done with so many things, Listerine gave us the gift of shame. All right, it's 503-733-2970.
Is it that time?
It is.
Scotty J, this is David Cassidy. I don't know what else to say except...
You're not going to amount to jack squat!
Scotty, please summon him to the studio.
Beam us up, Scotty.
End of message.
Hi, Scotty. How are you doing today?
Couldn't be better.
I'm going to play... Bless you. I'm going to play you a little something here.
Okay.
Now, this... I've raised the level on this as much as possible, but you'll have to listen really closely because it's kind of quiet. All right. You ready?
Yes. That is really bad, Rick.
How's your hangover? Oh, you can't take your headphones off. It's cheating. I went in and you were actually curled up in the chair just now. Literally like kind of clutching your legs to you like a beaten child. Sort of Luca style. What is with your socks, by the way?
I don't know. Have you ever watched the clock before? Just like watched
no.
it?
No. We come here every day and we work hard every minute of every show to be entertaining the people. To provide pleasure and amusement for the masses who keep us employed, Scotty.
I see.
We're not clock watchers. We're not gold brickers. We're men on this program. That's what we do.
And a woman.
Yeah, but even you're kind of a man. You know what I mean, baby. But what is with your
you're
socks?
You're kind of a man.
Though?
Aren't
yeah,
you,
Sarah?
Check out his... You
know,
I saw him talk.
I just literally opened
Is that
his...
why I can't look at your shoes? Because of your socks?
No, that shoes thing is kind of a joke from last night, and so... You know,
what was wrong
really
with your
never...
shoes last night?
Well, I had the...
Can you throw up on your shoes?
No, there
did
was
somebody,
coffee on them,
Did
though.
Somebody else throw up on your shoes?
No.
Because you got... I mean, you. To your credit, you look... You're pretty well put together today in Scotty J terms. I mean, you've got like... you're, no, I mean, you've got your Nike shirt and your jeans and then your shoes that match your shirt,
but
more or less.
Don't.
And then you've got these weird argyle-y dress socks
right.
that are like taupe color.
That's because I opened up the sock drawer that has the white socks in it, and then mm-hmm. there's a dress sock drawer because I used to have to wear suits and stuff to work, right?
Yes.
So I looked in the white sock drawer, and there was nothing. So I just went down a drawer, and on they went. And out I went.
Okay.
Out the door.
Okay.
Regretting every minute of it.
All right. What's the secret that you were going to share with Sarah earlier?
I wanted to hear her secret.
Sarah?
I don't have a secret.
Wink,
I want to hear more about
wink,
Scotty
wink.
Scotty no, J's evening, because it sounds very fun.
We were talking about the shoes, right? Mm-hmm. I had these Converse shoes on. I think you've seen
yes.
them. They have
yes,
flames,
I have. The Chuck Taylors.
Yeah. Anyways, my friends were like, dude, what's with the shoes, man? You're like 40 years old, blah, blah, blah. And so, you know, they were kind of asking me this as we were at this karaoke bar. So I talked into the microphone. I'm like, these shoes are on fire. These shoes are flaming. Right?
Shoes aren't the only thing. Let's, okay, let me ask you this, Scotty.
It was funny at the time.
Right. Yeah, I can see that now. No, it's also clear to me. I don't know what I was thinking. I think it's that time once again. And if it seems like I'm not talking very much, I'm just wondering what's lurking behind your beady eyes. But that's okay. I understand the many secrets that I'm not going to be.
A whip
that's
and
fine.
Hangover.
No, this is okay. There's apparently some being talked about that Rick can't be privy to. That's okay.
No, it has nothing to do
no,
with me.
No, it's fine. No, I'm moving
okay,
on.
Here,
okay,
here, I'll clue you guys in. It was about, you know, gosh, how do you do it, Sarah? You know, I don't feel so great, blah, blah, blah. And she says, well, I have a secret. And maybe she has a secret.
Oh, this is like a hangover
yeah,
secret?
Yeah, maybe she has a
Why
recipe.
Why couldn't you tell Rick Emerson that? Why are
no,
you keeping that from me?
A recipe or something.
No, I don't have any hangover secret. Drink a lot of water. Drink a Viso.
Great.
You really ought to.
But I the will. Ones without the caffeine.
Yeah, you
get that makes you all twitchy you know, like, when you're hungover.
You don't want to be any more twitchy. All right. Scotty J, it's that time once again.
Dear Lord.
It's time for The Suburban Perspective with Scotty J. Scotty, Yes. What is the suburban perspective on Hillary Clinton?
I really don't have much of a perspective on her.
That's
today.
Not true.
In fact, I don't have much of a perspective on
just
anything.
Say today. Whatever comes to mind.
Hillary, what's my perspective? My perspective is, I was thinking about this actually today or last night or whatever. Because the Clintons,
yes.
there were more deaths under their presidency than anybody. I mean, a lot of mysterious deaths.
Like who?
So now we're getting back to yesterday where I said that they're probably hiring some henchmen to take out the competition.
Like deaths like
who? Died?
I couldn't name the people, but there was a lot of people that died that, you know, worked for their administration and knew a lot about the Whitewater stuff. And
what's Whitewater?
I don't know. I'm in some deep territory now. And I can't think, so. Whitewater was a community, I thought. You know, like land, like the Glengarry Glen Ross guys. They were selling swamp land, and I think that's what Whitewater was.
Okay.
I don't know for sure.
And so who? So somebody died for real estate.
You have a great way of twisting things.
No. I'm trying to
piece. Yeah, something like that, yeah.
Did these mysterious deaths also involve Julia Roberts in a paper she wrote?
Seriously? What? Like, give me an example of someone who died under the Clintons.
I don't know their names, really. It's been a while.
Where did you learn that many, many, many people died under the Clintons?
People magazine.
Please tell me you're joking.
No, I am.
Where is it that you learned this in the media?
And I almost did this, and thank God I have restraint today.
The quotes.
Yes.
What media?
Just, you know, like the television news or the newspapers or whatever.
And the television
that,
news?
A bunch of people died under the Clinton administration.
Was that the official terminology
people
that they
knew,
used?
People they associated with, on and on and on. And so I was semi-making a joke.
Is it
yesterday.
More or less than 50?
It's real close to 50. Right? Tell me if I'm right or wrong. I mean, you could correct me.
I'm just asking what your perspective is on the apparently scores and scores of people around the Clintons.
I think it was close to like 48 or 50. That's my guess.
I mean, you don't win anything. It's not a showcase showdown.
Good.
So, apart from the half hundred or whatever people that she had killed, what else do you think about Hillary Clinton?
I don't think anything about Hillary Clinton, but I certainly am not voting for her.
And why is that?
I had enough Clintons for one lifetime.
To come to that conclusion.
And everyone's going to die, by the way.
To come to the conclusion that you're not going to vote for Hillary Clinton, though, you must have given it some thought.
Right.
And so, what thoughts about Hillary Clinton led you to decide that you would not be voting for her?
I just don't like her Democratic ways.
Such as?
Such as, you know, I don't know. Or don't they? It's just one thing that I don't like about her is she immediately jumped in there and said, "Oh, I'm not going to support this war," blah, 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 blah. But they entered us in more wars than any other president, by the way, the Clintons did.
Like what wars?
Bosnia. There's one of them. Thank God.
We declare war on Bosnia?
No, we just kind of went over there and kicked some butt.
I thought you were for butt kicking.
I usually am, yeah.
Except when the Clintons do it.
I'm just not a Clinton fan.
But, okay, I think you've established that. I'm just curious as to what specifically, though, the Clintons did that you objected to.
Yeah. I don't know. Hopefully we can move on through talking about the Clintons. I will talk about Iraq, though, for 2 seconds.
Yeah,
I have a solution.
Thing about the Clintons.
Right.
Okay. Is this a solution, again, where we give everybody a trailer or something for, like, a day and then they have to come back? And
No.
What's your Iraq solution?
That they open up a karaoke bar in Baghdad.
You could KJ that.
No. They open up a karaoke bar, right?
Uh-huh.
And these guys are out shooting, and they're like, "Hey, there's karaoke tonight. How can we be shooting people? There's karaoke."
Do you vote?
Sometimes.
Okay. I honestly don't know if I'm happy about that or not. Final thoughts on Hillary Clinton, Scotty J?
None. Wonder why the phone.
I want one reason why you don't want to vote for her, or why you don't like her.
Could it be the
Fact that she's a woman? No.
Well,
I think you were alluding to that.
Well, I'm waiting for the alternate reason.
The reason why I don't like her is just I don't believe in some of the things that she believes in, like free health care for everyone. You know?
That's insane.
Yeah, it is. Because someone's going to pay for it. So it's not free, right? It's kind of like the TriMet tax. No offense, TriMet. But I don't ride the bus.
Healthcare is like the TriMet tax.
The only bus I've been on is short. I'm kidding.
Okay. So you will not vote for Hillary Clinton because she wants people to have healthcare?
Yes.
Okay. Would you like to revise that statement or do you want to go out on that?
I'm going out on that one.
Okay. Let's take a couple phone calls. Hello, Rick Emerson Program. Who is this?
Hey, Rick. This is Jeff. I'm a delivery driver and longtime listener on your show.
Thank you, sir.
You have got to get rid of Scotty J, for the love of God.
No,
he is like an anchor dragging down you guys' show. I'm dead serious.
Sir, you have to... We love Scotty. Scotty's an integral part of the program.
Well, now he is, but ever since he's been ingratiated, your show has gotten worse and worse, and I love listening to you guys. You, Tim, and Sarah are great, but literally, every time he speaks, is like fingernails on a blackboard. You have got to get rid of him, and especially with you moving into a new studio and him having a microphone, it's going to be worse and worse.
So you're suggesting that maybe we should just move and not tell him where we're going?
Yeah, totally. Oh my God, that's the greatest idea. Please make that happen.
All right.
Thank you.
No, okay, thank you. No, you've got to be able to be... You know, here's the problem is, Scotty, when you're in here...
A good spring cleaning.
When you're in here, there's no one to screen out those calls. I should start being...
I wouldn't screen that guy. You can say whatever you want.
No, but I'm saying this is a non-productive use of our time. I mean, I could take that guy anytime.
Talking about chalkboards, you mean?
I'm saying for the suburban perspective, what we're really looking for is for people who have questions for you.
Sure.
So if you have a question for Scotty and the suburban perspective, that phone number is 503-733-2970. It's 503-733-2970. 2970. If you have a question for Scotty and the suburban perspective, that's kind of what we're looking for here.
If they want to talk about the decline of the show and chalkboards and stuff like that, I can comment on it.
No decline. You're a crucial. You're a pillar. You are an integral part of the Rick. You're part of the Rick Emerson family. Hello. Who is this?
This is Betty.
Hi, Betty. How can I help you?
I was just going to help Scotty out and let you know that one of the people that died under the Clinton administration was Vince Foster.
Right.
Wow, see?
Vince Foster's the one everybody can...
I knew somebody died.
Can you?
He was the one who supposedly committed suicide.
Right.
Somewhere in a vehicle, a truck or something, but it probably was arranged.
You know who spent a lot of time talking about that was G. Gordon Liddy. I mean, days and days. All right, Betty, thank you.
Thank you.
There you go. That's Betty. And see, I ask, and then so shall we receive. Let me just put these on hold. We'll just get these one at a time. Hello, Rick Emerson Show. You're on the Suburban Perspective with Scotty J.
Yes, Scotty is not an anchor dragging down the show. He is a ballast keeping you upright.
That's what I'm saying, sir. He's a pillar.
I'm a pirate.
Without this...
And a pirate.
I'm kidding.
half right. All right. Thank you, sir.
All right. Enjoy.
All right. There you go. Thank you. You just set him up, dude. I got to knock him down sometimes. Hello, Rick Emerson Show. Who's this?
Hello, James.
Hi, James. How can I help you?
I think Scotty's the victim here. I think Scotty's the victim of our school system first.
These calls aren't really going the way that I tried to suggest. I was trying to steer people towards a more...
I'm sorry. Scotty, what suburb do you live in?
Beaverton.
Okay, thank you. I won't go there.
There's water out there and there's cable.
All right. Thank you, James. All right. Well, I have a little couple more, and then we've bars. Then we've got a break. This is not going. I'm trying to steer the people, Scotty, but without a screener, it just all goes to hell. Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hey, this is Marcel over in the coup.
Hi, Marcel. What's up?
Not much. The only thing Scotty's a victim of is Adrian Zmed and every bad '80s comedy there ever was.
Listen to the chortle. He's satisfied with himself. That was the way that you said 80s comedy there ever was. Yeah. That was like your laugh. That was fantastic.
Oh, thanks. Excellent. I've been working on it. Hey, my one question for Scotty is how the Vince Foster and the other 39 or so dead people under Clinton compare to the 3,000 in Iraq.
There's no comparison there.
Meaning?
Meaning the Clintons perhaps had something to do with the elimination of some of these people. This is just
George Bush had
hypothetical.
Nothing. And George Bush was...
Fighting the terrorists. Did you guys forget 9/11? There's a song out about that. There's a country song. Something without.
All right, thanks. Thank you, sir.
No more questions.
Yes, okay. There you go. What else could you ask? Let's take one more here, and then we have to break. Hello, Rick Emerson Show. Who is this?
Hey, Rick. This is Boba Fett.
Hi. What's up, sir?
Hey, not much. Hey, I love Scotty. He makes me laugh. He cracks me up.
It's what we do.
I'm not too sure what he's got going on in his mind, but my one question for Scotty.
Yes.
He seems to have trouble with a lot of choices. So, who orders when him and Mrs. J go to a buffet?
Scotty.
No, I don't have problems with choices. Well, like what? Give me an example.
Well, I mean, you're saying all these people have, you know... Well, when Rick gives you choices of... Now I'm having troubles with
it. It's catching. It's like typhus.
It seems like whenever Scotty talks about the people
Orange.
That have died underneath Hillary Clinton and all that, he just doesn't have his...
So whenever, here's the problem.
Whenever he has to become specific, in other
words.
Well,
yeah, and he gets all of his facts from the news, but I'm not sure he realizes that the 6 o'clock news ends and a movie starts.
Here's the problem.
Zing.
Rick blindsides me, so I can't prepare my thoughts.
It's not a quiz. I'm simply,
right.
I'm not springing a question on you that you don't know the answer to. Theory, this is just your opinion on something.
Okay.
There's no wrong answer to that. All right. Thank you, sir.
Yep.
All right, there you go. We should break. Back after this, it's 503-733-2970. There he is, ladies and gentlemen. An integral part of the Rick Emerson Show. The Suburban Perspective with Scotty J. Back after this with Tim Riley. Like us at 3. Don't go anywhere.
American girls and American guys, we'll always stand up and salute. We'll always recognize when we see old glory flying. There's a lot of men dead, so we can sleep in peace at night when we lay down our heads. My daddy served in the army. We lost his right eye, but he flew a flag out in our yard. Day that he died, he wanted my mother, my brother, my sister, and me to grow up.
Hey, Scotty, never say we never did anything for you.
In the land of the free. Now this nation that I love is falling under attack. A mighty sucker punch came flying in from somewhere in the back.
This is for you, Scotty.
See clearly through our big black eye. Man, we lit up your world.
I feel myself getting dumber.
Oh, God, I hate the church bells are coming up.
Don't forget you saw the orphans on the way to the church.
God.
That's the kind of music I heard in my mama's kitchen.
Oh, sorry, Mother Freedom's bell.
Now the chimes come at the final chorus. I'm telling you, he's going to sell this to the post office one of these days.
Yeah,
they'll
really like the boot in your ass.
Put a boot in your ass. Scotty is typing on the screen that we ought not forget 9/11. Thank you.
Because
it had slipped our mind. You know what's even worse than this? There's two things worse than this. Oh, God.
Oh, come on.
Will be served and the battle will
Wouldn't you love to draft this guy today?
Oh, man.
Yeah. Oh. If I was president, this guy would be on the front lines.
I hate him so much.
We'll put a boot in your ass.
As president, use this for my Kayla shoes.
Put your name at
There's
the
bell.
Chimes. There's the chimes.
Who's Mother Freedom?
Did you watch around ringing bells?
I'm putting boots in people's asses.
Pardon me, don't you have to pay for that typically? That'll happen at the foot of Syria. How much for a boot in my ass?
By one bury at the second three. This thing will sound like
Seriously, I'm telling you right now, I ever run this country, he's on the next plane. I don't care who hears me say that.
Black helicopters will land in the backyard.
Oh, God. Seriously.
Who's the pilot? It's Mother Freedom ringing her bells.
Mother Freedom has come. Pack your crap. You have 5 minutes, Toby Keith. You know, the two things worse than that. There's that Daryl Worley that Have You Forgotten? You know, where he rhymes.
They sound the same.
I know.
Oh, man.
Where he, and all the facts in the whole thing are wrong. Right. I mean, everything about the song is... Everything described in the song just didn't happen.
Where he just, he rhymes Bin Laden with Forgotten.
Yeah.
Have you heard, but that guy is like a one, he's a one-trick pony too. Have you heard the new Daryl Worley one? And,
no.
And again, you should know what we talked to that guy earlier who scored your racket. We have, as goes without saying, I got nothing against, you know, guys who get sent over there because, you know, somebody sends you the telegram that you answer the phone on the wrong day and a guy tells you you're going to Iraq, then... That's what happens.
Most everyone else, the new guys they recruit are going to be building fences,
but
according to the ad.
This Daryl Worley, some of these guys who are just these a-hole, like, couch soldiers. Mm-hmm. Like the Daryl Worley, and his song, he has this song called I Just Got Back From a War, and it's a whole lot of, you know, blah, blah, blah. And it's just this guy totally.
Like he did.
Yeah, which, you know, I just got back from a tour, is what he actually just got back from. And it's just another guy just milking it and just piggybacking it, and I swear to God, just someday, I hope that he's shoeing a horse at the wrong moment and just something, you know, God forbid there be a loud noise right as you're bent over in front of one of those feet. God
just
damn.
Something else to give the grid and wash another good scrubbing.
Here's Tim Riley, ladies and gentlemen, at the Ministry of Truth.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
On to Bank B we go.
All right, I'm there.
Because you want to hear these, we know. It's a kidnapped victim, Sean Hornbeck, who's about to be on the Oprah show any moment now.
God.
He said during his 4 years of captivity, he was terrified.
I would mostly sleep. It's the only way I could ever pass the time. This is basically what I did, sleep or watch TV or play video games.
So who can beat that? Why go home to your parents, really? Sean Hornbeck was asked if he ever tried to get in touch with his parents after all the sleeping, TV watching, and video game playing.
I had read in the paper that you had gone to the internet site and asked, how long will you be searching for your son? Yeah. And then you wrote another question saying, I would like to write a poem about your son.
A That's poem?
True. Yeah.
I'm not really...
This is so messed up.
It's completely creepy, and never mind.
Hornbeck said he missed the newest member of the family. Probably
I've missed out on a lot of stuff. I missed out on Carson growing up, his
Johnny
first
Carson,
words,
Carson.
And walking and stuff like that.
And
Carson
is
Daly.
My oldest nephew.
Okay. Well, whatever.
So that's that for now.
Good God. It's like Bad Parent Day.
Watch over today.
In this country. All right. Let's see, what are we,
Are we clapping for Tim?
And now, Scotty, see, nothing. I'm sorry, I didn't even see that you were heading
I don't
Scotty.
Need to clap.
Yeah, thank you. Tim Riley, ladies and gentlemen. Well, so Scotty's putting up all these calls. See, now I feel like I'm going to be painted as a bad guy here because he's putting up all these calls to defend him, but you're looking at the clock. It's like I got 2 minutes.
Okay, just pick up one of them.
Dan. Oh, here we go. I got him, Dan. Dan!
Well, actually, I wasn't calling just to defend Scotty J. I was going to say that we were down in Cabo about 2 years ago, and Toby Keith was at Cabo Wabo, and he was actually a pretty cool guy.
You know,
he bought beers for everybody. It was pretty quiet night. He did some singing. He was pretty mellow.
Well, he doesn't have any worries. He's not going to war.
I was just going to say, well spent. I'm not even going to try to top that because that's exactly what I was going to say. It's easy to be mellow when you're not the one who has to do it. Yeah. Is that really where you... Scotty actually put on the screen calling to defend Scotty.
Well, and then you played that, and you were kind of jumping on him. You know, that's his boy. He's all right.
I don't even know who we're talking about now. Thanks, Dan. All right. No, you hit that on the head. I can't...
Who's his boy?
Can't say it more concisely than that. DJ, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Yes, sir. We need Scotty, okay? He's got to stay. But you're like really hard on him. And when someone called back with the Vince Foster name that he couldn't remember,
Betty.
you didn't reply to that.
Vince Foster is dead, but that's one. That's one.
I know. He's like really dead, but he died under really suspicious circumstances.
You know, there's 49. And, you know, there's 49 numbers between one and like 50.
Okay. May have overshot a little bit there. I don't know where the other 49 are at, but there were a lot of suspicious things. And Vince Foster, you wanted a specific, and he gave you a specific, but you didn't reply to it.
Oh no, Vince Foster. No, Vince Foster's the one everybody can name. No, I acknowledge that. Vince. I mean, I'm amazed that Scotty couldn't. Vince Foster is a guy who died. There's a difference between
the original question was though why what's wrong with Hillary? Well,
yes.
That's a big wrong.
But
he said that a bunch of people.
His thing was that 50 people died, which is, that's made up.
That's what we
call just making stuff up.
But regardless, though, you didn't address the one that...
I did. She called up, and I said, yes, that's correct.
Because Scotty didn't come up with it.
Scotty didn't come up with it, so why should I tell Scotty congratulations?
I know it's the end of the show, and I appreciate the time. But somebody said something about we should remember 9/11, and there was like a whole bunch of sarcastic laughter, and that's not right, man. We should remember 9/11.
Are you a professional talk radio caller? Is this what you do? You have all there's all the hallmarks.
Yeah, because are you honestly not?
If I was professional, I'd be a whole lot better at it than this.
Are you honestly calling and saying you think that we're laughing about 9/11?
Seriously, and that I was in danger of forgetting.
No, we're not going to forget it. That was what the humorous thing was.
Seriously.
Nobody can forget that. We all lived here at this point.
Okay, but when somebody said we should remember 9/11, there was like a lot of, oh God, no, not that.
Because the implication is that I'm somehow gonna like forget it, that it might slip my mind, which is retarded.
Okay, all right.
That's too bad. Unfortunately, we had to end the call.
Postman
all broken up about
in
it.
Your neighborhood.
Jesus. Shallow end of the swamp. All right. Chris, hello. Hey, it's Mailman Chris. What's up?
Hey, buddy.
You sound fantastic.
Hey, really? Today's a great day. It's my day off.
Really?
I'm happy.
You got a little gravelly going on.
I want to slug through the snow today.
Hey.
You got most of what you someone dead, someone in rehab. We sort of found out what's wrong with Scotty.
That's a question that can never really truly be answered.
That's a big topic. Lisa and Jim, no top five?
Oh, you know, that's me. I suck.
And I didn't hear the penis chopping up story.
Oh, no, I didn't. And it's a great story, too. I mean, how could it not be? I failed it.
We had two that put you at five, which means push-ups tomorrow.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's true, that I got to do it regardless. There's nothing, or irregardless.
You have at least two.
There's nothing I can do.
Yeah, at least two.
I have to do them regardless. All right, excellent. All right.
Hey, you know, you've been doing top fives lately. I'm going to work on, how long do you want music cuts? Like a minute?
2 minutes max.
2 minutes max?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to put together a top five for you. I'll get it to you maybe next Friday on my day off. I'll call in and I can talk you through it. Teach Scotty how it's done.
You do it, I'll play it.
I'll teach Scotty how to talk up a top five.
Thank you, sir. All right, my friend.
Tomorrow.
Thank you. There goes Mailman Chris. All right. We're going to see a radio correspondents, Lisa Goddard and Jim Roop. Coming up tomorrow, Scott Daly from FilmFeverRadio.com. The Rick Emerson Show, produced today and every day by the lovely and talented Sarah X. Dillon for AM 970. Solid State Radio. In the newsroom, it's Tim Riley. Our PA is Scotty J. And the manager of the Rick Emerson office, East, is Dave Zinn. As always, thank you for listening. Be safe. Don't let the bastards grind you down like us. Next, Dynamite at 7. We'll see you tomorrow at 11. Bye now.
You rub lotion on its skin, it does this when it's cold.